hide the negatives, accentuate the positives. I thought they did a good job tonight with Omas. Till the very end of the match. But we got a lot to talk about. Let's try to fit 2 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag, which in simple English, let's try to get this done as quickly as possible. Good afternoon, everyone. It is Saturday, November 5th, 2022. Your WWE Crown Jewel Premium Live event has just ended. I am Don Tony, as always. Much love. Shout out to everybody who's tuning in, whether it's live or on the recap. I mean, I understand not everybody's going to tune in live. There are so many people out there doing their recaps, and deservingly so. This, I thought, was a very solid, solid event. It did have a couple of moments that kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. In fact, we got every match prediction correct except for one. And the finish that happened to me was the most illogical one of them all. And that was the OC taking on the Judgment Day. With all due respect, why even plant the seed before Judgment Day that Rhea Ripley keeps interfering, keeps getting in the way? Why even mention that you have to neutralize Rhea Ripley in Saudi Arabia and then nobody shows up? You don't bring out any female from the roster. Hey, I was even talking to some people earlier. You know, how awesome would it have been if maybe Edge's music hits towards the end? And not only does Edge come out, but maybe Beth Phoenix. And then Beth Phoenix goes at it with Rhea Ripley, even if she chases her just to the back. You know, maybe Edge caused a little distraction, but no, they wanted the Judgment Day to win. So Rhea Ripley once again gets involved, causes the interference. AJ Styles eats the coup de grace, kind of like a repeat of what we have seen on WWE television. Look, this is not a knock. I enjoyed Crown Jewel tremendously. I thought it was solid. From top to bottom, it was solid. But I will say one thing tonight, and I'm sure a lot of you out there haven't even thought about it, and I definitely would love for you to step back and think about it a little bit. You know what I felt about tonight's, did I just say Judgment Day? Did I just say, no, that's the group, Crown Jewel. You know what I felt about Crown Jewel today? I don't know if you did. It felt like if you would have told me that Vince McMahon was still heading creative, I think we would have got the exact same premium live event today. I mean, the vibe with this Crown Jewel felt exactly the same of previous Crown Jewels. And I'm not saying that this is not a negative thing, but was there a distinctive Triple H influence on you? If anything, this probably felt even more like a Vince McMahon deal because of one match in particular. You got to listen to me. You got to listen to JD when we give predictions. You know, I talked about it not only on Wednesday's show, but JD and I talked about it on Thursday. You know, they announced after Raw went off the air on Monday, they announced a women's championship match at Crown Jewel. And, you know, people just don't get it online. They don't get it. You know, a lot of you wanted our predictions. And in case you missed Thursday's epic, epic podcast with myself and JD from New York, if you have not checked it out yet, you must. It is 3 hours and about 10 minutes of pure gold from beginning to end, from start to stop. It was tremendous. We got into so many topics, and you know what was the beauty of it? You could listen or watch that show a year from now, and maybe just the Crown Jewel discussion would be the only thing that might be somewhat outdated since then. But when we talked about the women's tag match and who we thought was going to win, here's 60 seconds from Thursday, in case you didn't see it already. My honest take is, you know, I don't live in Saudi Arabia, never been there, but my perception from many thousands of miles away is everything's got to be over the top. The greatest ever of this, the most biggest spectacular of this, the unbelievable of this. So I almost feel like if I kind of feel different, if Bianca is not going to drop the title, if Roman Reigns is not going to drop the title, if the Usos are not going to drop the title, then, you know, somebody's got to drop a title, it feels, especially in Saudi Arabia. So it almost feels like Triple H said to the Crown Prince, what if we do the women's tag team championships and we do a title change? I think it's going to go back to Sky and Kai. And I think the change on Monday was simply to have a title change at Saudi Arabia.
Typical WWE.
Yeah, as JD said, typical WWE. You know, everybody thinks that Triple H is a new hire. And this is not a knock on Triple H, but he's been there for decades. He is part of the WWE machine. If it's not broke, you don't fix it. You know, look at the stock market, you know, compared to a year ago. You know, when everybody talks about the mass firings in 2020 and 2021, what they always leave out is the mass hirings in 2019, when WWE hired a crazy number of, look at a lot of the people that were let go. Many of them were signed in 2019. What happened in 2019? The stock market hit almost $100. The more money WWE makes, the more they could sign, the more they could re-sign. When COVID hit and the stock started going down, that's when you started to see a lot of releases. You know, but this tag guy, I watch people today, and I'm truly convinced that some news sites and podcasts, they're not that stupid, everyone. They're not that brain dead. They're not Brad Shepard territory. You know, when they're like, why even do the title change on Raw if you're just going to give it back to Kai, it's Kai. You can't fucking figure that out by now. What are you, like a Nickelodeon news site? Is there a bunch of 12-year-olds there that maybe started watching wrestling 3 years ago when they started getting pubic hairs on their, you know, private parts? How do you not figure this out? Crown Jewel, the greatest of all time, the biggest ever, the most spectacular, unbelievable of all time. Wasn't rocket science. You know, we're not that smart. You know, this is WWE selling to Crown Jewel. What do we do a title change? No, that's Triple H. What do we do a title change? Tell me more. What do we do a title change? We do the women's. But we don't want to put it on Alexa Bliss and Asuka. You know, we don't want to hit that area yet. So what if we give the belts to Asuka and Alexa Bliss on Monday? So Saturday, Sky and Kai could win them right back title change in Saudi Arabia. Oh, that sounds very good to me. That's exactly what happened. Wasn't hard to figure out. But I'm convinced, just like the Bray Wyatt stuff, how many, you know, like, why are people so embarrassed to just admit that they're wrong? Go on social media, especially Twitter, type in Uncle Howdy and do a time search and look what's been said the last 2 hours. People that got the Wyatt 6 shit so wrong. The Bo Dallas, oh, Uncle Howdy is Bo Dallas under a mask because he's wearing a cross earring. You know, why? There's still today, and I'm not talking about maybe 5 or 6 people, in droves today, they're still trying to tell you the voice you heard on the Titantron at Crown Jewel is Bo Dallas. And yes, it sounds like Bray, but that's because Bo Dallas is his brother. Of course he's a, I guarantee you, if my brother comes on here now and I turn the camera off and he starts trying to talk like me doing a podcast, I guarantee he's not going to sound like this. But in case you miss Crown Jewel, I can't show you the video. But I just want you to listen. I want you to close your eyes and just listen to the Uncle Howdy voice. Not, I know this pisses people off when I say this. Has anyone else other than this channel gotten it so right when it comes to the best? You know, I had some guy yesterday. There's this guy, Tom Clue. I think he does podcasts, and he's a good guy. It wasn't him, but one of his minions. Because Thursday I talked about Uncle Howdy, the evil one on this shoulder. Uncle Harper, the good, beautiful, angelic person on this shoulder. And they're going to be battling to try to convince Bray Wyatt which way to go. Did SmackDown sway you a little bit? And this minion yesterday, ooh, why don't you admit you took a page from what Tom Clue said on the Observer site? I'm like, son, go check out October 15th's podcast that I did. It's right in the fucking title. Uncle Howdy versus Uncle Harper. I've been saying that shit for about a month. And his answer is, okay. You think he went to Tom Cruise and say, did you take that from Don Tony? People always trying to pull it. Why can't people just admit? Listen to the audio. Tell me if you still think this is Bo Dallas or anyone else. Listen to this.
Why wear a mask? Why? It must hurt, forcing yourself to be someone you're not. You can fool them, but you can't fool me. Can't fool me. Do it. After all, who knows you better than I do? Do you think they still love you? If they knew the truth, if they all knew the truth, they don't deserve you. The truth is, you're gonna go too far and go too far. You're gonna give in. So why wait? Because when you do, you're gonna remember just how good it feels. How good it feels. And oof, it's gonna feel so good. So good. Do it. And if you're worried about the aftermath, do it. Hurt them. Just don't take the mask off. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's not that hard, everyone. It's not that hard. The storyline is what's going on in Bray Wyatt's head we're watching on the screen. That's the storyline. And give props to WWE. Anybody remember what the tease that Pat McAfee did? I can't remember exactly what it was. Some of you out there are so intelligent. You have almost Rain Man-like memory out there. What was the tease? That there was some stupid rumor going on online, and Pat McAfee, right before he left SmackDown to go do college football, he actually joked about it on the commentary table, you know, teasing that something was going to happen. And everybody on social media said, Pat McAfee name dropped it today. Oh my God. Does anybody remember what that was? Because WWE did it again today. They did it again today. And this time they did it with Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt. People have been trying to convince you that Alexa Bliss is going to rejoin Bray Wyatt. It is all over social media. I personally think they probably put the cross on the Uncle Howdy mask because all these people are clickbaiting you, trying to convince you that it's Bo Dallas under the mask. So they probably said, you know, just put the cross on there. This way we could have more people saying that it's Bo Dallas. A lot of people don't remember. But tonight, right before the tag team title match, Alexa Bliss and Asuka did a backstage interview. And this is only 2 seconds long, but there was a little mini Titantron in the background, and something popped up on the screen. Can you imagine what followed on social media next? This is what happened today. You know, I'll give you the audio part. I think I have the audio. Maybe I don't have audio, but just look at it. Hold on. I had to put everything together like super, super quick today. So, all right, let's check it out. Oh, that didn't work. Well, anyway, you look. You see it. They showed the Bray Wyatt moth in the background, and Alexa Bliss was startled. Now everybody's like, told you, Alexa Bliss, Bray Wyatt, it's happening, mind games. That's WWE paying attention to social media and now playing into it. That's exactly what that is. Remember when Bray Wyatt was going to return and we thought Malakai Black quit AEW and people were telling you that Malakai Black was going to return to WWE and be part of Bray Wyatt's faction. So what does WWE do? In one of the Easter eggs, they take two lines of lyrics from Aleister Black's theme song and they put it in a code because they know somebody out there is going to interpret the code and say, see, I told you, Malakai Black's returning to WWE. These are mind games. Triple H just said it in the financial call that we're going to do more of these scavenger hunts. We're going to do more of these teasers. This is a good thing. This is fun. This is great. Until people either are intentionally, you know, ignoring the obvious or the truth simply to get hits and views. And that kind of skews it and it kind of makes it ridiculous because this is not rocket science. You know, the Bray Wyatt stuff is great. But as we said on Thursday, you know, Bray Wyatt, there's a possibility he does not wrestle a match until WrestleMania. Do you remember about a week or two ago, I said that Bray Wyatt may have to randomly get angry at someone in the back because there's no feud. Nobody's going to attack him. Like, he just has to randomly get angry with someone and he's toying with the emotion in his brain. They did that Friday on SmackDown with a sound guy or something. You know, Bray Wyatt was threatening to kill his guy, literally. And he's like, just go. And the guy ran off, almost peed his pants. But remember, just keep it simple. It's not rocket science. I think people want to try to make it so complicated because they got used to some of the AEW Easter eggs. You're supposed to know CM Punk's Ring of Honor theme from 15 years ago. You're supposed to remember something with Bret Hart from 1988. You're supposed to know all your history in New Japan. That's Hikuleo. You know him. I don't fucking know him. By the way, very cool today. Very cool today to hear WWE still allowing acknowledgement from other promotions. They're not worried that fans are going to be like, New Japan? What is this New Japan that Michael Cole is referencing? Hey, they're good. I'm not going to watch WWE anymore. They got stupid, that is. So Michael Cole now acknowledging the Bullet Club when the OC came out, acknowledging some history, and Sasha Banks. You know for a fact, Jason Solomonster, JD from New York, Joe Cronin, myself, and many other podcasts have been saying for months, Sasha Banks is coming back. Remember the whole conversation? Take 6 months off. Go do the things that you want to do. Go model. Go on the strip. This is what she always wanted to do. Go do things. Relax. Clear your head. This was after Vince McMahon resigned and stepped down. Today, Michael Cole mentioned the word Sasha Banks for probably the first time since that night on SmackDown that they walked out. Unprofessional behavior. Remember, Vince McMahon was still in charge at that time. Vince McMahon instructed Michael Cole to say that. Today, when Bianca Belair came out for her match, Michael Cole reminding everyone that her and Sasha Banks made history, not just two women main eventing WrestleMania. Yes, I know we had a three-way as well, but two black women main eventing WrestleMania. I know in the year 2022, a lot of people out there, especially if you're not black, you know, why do we have to reference Kid Cole? No, because it is a big deal. When you realize that Bianca Belair just passed 200 days as the first black champion holding a belt for 200 days in the history of WWE, what does that tell you? I mean, I know, you know, it's not that cut and dry, but still, facts are facts. And the fact that their name dropped, hell, I think there's video that came out today of Sasha Banks training in the ring. JD, I can't take credit for this, but JD said, do not be surprised if Sasha Banks possibly returns at Survivor Series. Boston, Sasha Banks, think about it. It's kind of starting to fall into place over here. So Sasha Banks, you could feel it. You could feel that everything's been mended. And she will make a return. By the way, I got to tell you, man, the women's match tonight between Bayley and Bianca Belair, I honestly, from the first half of the match, I honestly thought, wow, this is extremely watered down for a last woman standing match. Maybe they just can't go all out like that as far as the women in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's last woman standing. You think about the epic battle that they had at Extreme Rules, and I'm like, wow, this feels backwards. We had Extreme Rules, then we had Raw 2 weeks ago, and now we're the final encounter at Saudi Arabia, and this feels like this should be their first encounter. Holy shit. That second half of that match, it ended up being my favorite Bianca-Bayley match to date. They killed it today. I mean, honestly, I know this is just a stupid, ridiculous, not a big deal spot, but I popped so good, so much for this because it's so fucking logical. The only thing that Bailey made a mistake, suspension of disbelief, is she didn't close the latches shut. Yeah, I know, we're nitpicking, but, you know, last woman stand, throw her in a chest, throw her in a box, lock the key, that's it. And you know what? Give credit to Bailey. Did you see what she did? When the referee got the count up to seven, you know, Bailey acted like she was going to hug the chest to prevent Bianca from coming out. But what Bailey did was she went up to the chest and she went, like, slapped it a few times. Maybe Bailey, there's no reason for Bailey to have gotten inside that chest. Maybe Bailey, for a split second, said, I hope she could hear the referee counting. And I think that was her sending a message like, you better open his fucking chest up now. But that was a tremendous match. The KOD on that chair. Holy shit. This was pretty cool as well. You know, bringing out the golf cart, Bailey on top, that table not breaking originally was very, very rough. But Bianca Belair retaining her championship. Now, I should also mention, you know, Nikki Cross was the cause of the women, Alexa Bliss and Asuka, losing the tag championships today. But, you know, that tells me that Doudrop may be reforming a tag team with Nikki Cross. I'm not crapping on that at all, but this is my honest opinion. I personally think that WWE realizes, even if Nikki Cross becomes a great heel on that main roster. And look, we are happy that the Nikki A.S.H. character is gone. But I also believe that, especially with Charlotte Flair on the cusp of returning, she's returning. Be interesting if they put her in War Games. I don't think they would, but, you know, always keep that in the back of your mind. You remember, Ronda Rousey doesn't have a match, so we kind of feel, neither does Bianca. I mean, they haven't announced the teams yet, but you kind of feel that they're probably going to go in a different direction with them. But, you know, understand that even if Nikki Cross really kills it as a heel, is she going to leapfrog about six or seven women on that roster right now? No. No matter how many times she interferes, does anybody think in their right mind that she could possibly become women's champion right now? No. So I personally think her best shot of having some type of momentum. Remember, it's not just about character development, it's about momentum. You know, anybody could have, you know, a great character on TV, but if they just keep losing over and over, and with Austin Theory as one of the rare exceptions, you know, Nikki Cross is going to feel like same shit as before. You know, I mean, look at Xia Li. Xia Li was a babyface fighting her landlords, you know, this and that. Yeah, yeah. And then she turned heel. And then a couple of weeks ago, she's babyface again. And now she's provoking Emma. You know, and does it, you feel like no matter how they change the character, if the perception on TV is you lose, you lose, you lose, you lose, there's no clear path, you know, it's hard to get, you know, momentum for that, for someone like that. So I think Nikki very well could rejoin Doudrop as a tag team. I guess the question is, do they change Doudrop's name? Now, is Piper Nevin her real name? I mean, I've never bothered to look. I mean, I know Piper Nevin, Nevin, how you pronounce it. But I will say this. If that's her real name, if her future WWE career is going to be short, then they will call her that. But I personally think if Piper Nevin is her real name, that is her real name. Thank you, Soulfly. They're not going to give her that name. I mean, I know people online are very passionate. Give her a name back. No, there's trademarks. Why do you think they're tweaking Dominik Dijakovic's name? I know it's easier to spell. Just call him Dijak. But they're doing it for copyright purposes. Everything in WWE is trademark and copyright merchandising. So they're not going to let her keep her name unless it's going to be short term. Unless it's going to be short term. So, oh, okay. Thank you, Extreme D. Extreme D, he is the one that's correct. That is not her name, Piper Nevin. Her name is Kimberly Benson. Thank you, Extreme D. He looked that up. So they can call her Piper Nevin. So I always say Nevin because, you know, you think of Nevin. So that match that Bayley and Bianca today, they tore it up. I tell you, and Logan Paul, you know, we all saw this coming. Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns was going to feel like Rocky and Apollo. That's what we called it a month ago. Michael Cole tonight even mentioned Rocky and Apollo. In fact, I got a kick out of him. Peter Rosenberg compared Omos and Braun Strowman on the pre-show to who do we talk about Thursday? Big John Studd and Andre the Giant with the Andre the Giant camera. Remember when I talked about the body slam challenge and the camera angle of Omos? It gave me so many vibes. Do I think Peter Rosenberg listens to our shit? No. But great to see other wrestling fans who grew up on this shit that can relate. Is it on the level of Andre Big John Studd? No. Is Rocky and is Logan Paul and Roman Reigns on the level of Rocky and Apollo? No. But the story was there. And look at it like this. After Roman Reigns retained his championship today, I was going to show you a picture of Roman Reigns holding the belts up in the air, or maybe even a quick 3 or 4 second file where Paul Heyman's like, I acknowledge you. You're my tribal chief. You are. Yeah. No, I decided to grab this picture instead. That's Roman Reigns' reaction after he won. That was the storyline here. Logan Paul took Roman Reigns, I don't want to say to the limit, but you know Roman Reigns, when he comes out on SmackDown to cut his first promo, he is going to acknowledge Logan Paul as he underestimated him, didn't take him seriously, and he is going to show respect for Logan Paul. They had a great match. By the way, oh, just off the record, you know, side thing, please, I know I always say this in the comment section, post it, but let me know later if the audio sounds any different today. And if it does it sound better? Because this morning I got up and started tweaking my settings a little bit. I watched back a little bit of the show I did with JD, and I was listening to my audio, and something sounds a little choppy. So I actually disabled a whole bunch of codecs. Sometimes less is more. So I'm curious if there's any noticeable difference in the audio today. You know, otherwise I may have to change my mixer. But, you know, Logan Paul is obviously better utilized as a heel. If you watch his mannerisms, this is even after him training for many, many months and now under the wing of Shawn Michaels. You know, some of Logan Paul's antics are destined as a heel. So Logan Paul taking selfies and getting very cocky in the match with Roman Reigns, a little bit more heelish. But in the end, though, you know, one thing I think we could all say, yeah, maybe Logan Paul doesn't have many matches. No, I'm not going to compare it to the last 15 years of The Undertaker's career where we only have 2-3 matches a year. I'm not comparing it. But I will say this. Even though Logan Paul's only had 3 matches now, the amount of work that he has put in, it's obvious. You could see it. It's not just being able to do moves. Anybody could do that, especially when it feels like a video game you're watching. But as far as reversals, counters, psychology, selling, you could see that this guy is taking this seriously, not taking shortcuts. I mean, I still always appreciated what Bad Bunny did, but it always felt like Bad Bunny, that match. I mean, and look, this isn't wrong, and we're not knocking him for this. The man is a musical artist. The man is a musical artist who also loves wrestling. But his WrestleMania match, everything he did in that match, all of his training was just for that match. Nothing else. Just for that match. The Canadian Destroyer every day, just for that match. And yeah, maybe down the line he returns and hits a spot on someone. But that's all he was hired to do. So you can't, I'm not knocking Bad Bunny in any way. But when you see Logan Paul, you could see that there is something bigger here. And he is going to be around for a little while. I tell you, you know, I thought the match today, slow at times, This might have been one of the best storytelling matches since Roman Reigns had that championship. Because let me say this to you. We knew Roman Reigns ain't dropping the titles. We know that. And as we've said over the last 2+ years, there's never really been a time over the last 2 years, with the exception of Drew McIntyre, for the last 2+ years, no one that Roman was feuding with did I ever feel that he was in danger of losing the title. Not Jey Uso, not Kevin Owens, not Daniel Bryan, not Finn Balor, nobody. Drew McIntyre was the only one that I honestly thought, you know, this is the time. This may be the time. Logan Paul, you knew wasn't winning the championships today. No matter who was saying, oh, you know, this would shock the world. Yeah, it would shock the world, but it would also cause some damage to Roman Reigns. And you can't just use, oh, I underestimated the underdog and I lost because of it. You know, that's a John Cena attitude you would take. You know, never underestimate your opponents because, you know, no, you don't have Roman Reigns cutting that. Roman Reigns is dominant. Whoever beats him, it's got to be feel special, not a fluke. If Logan, no matter how good Logan Paul was today, if he would have won, it would have been a fluke. Because what has been the tease for the last 3 weeks? They did it today as well when Logan Paul got out of the SUV. One punch to the face. One lucky punch. Or as Paul Heyman said tonight at Crown Jewel, one lucky punch. One lucky punch. One lucky punch. One lucky punch. That's fluke. This isn't boxing at the end of the day. You know, boxing, you're trying to knock that motherfucker out as quickly as possible. Yes, you try to do that as wrestling as well, but wrestling is entertainment. Wrestling is about telling a story. You know, with all due respect, I watched today Shibata versus Orange Cassidy, and it was a fun match. You know, but I kind of have a hard time getting by where Orange Cassidy is knocking out, like, big-time pro wrestlers, and he's knocking Shibata in the face, and Shibata's just like this. He ain't Hulk Hogan. Neither is Orange Cassidy. You know, I thought it was a little much. So it's storytelling. It's storytelling. Now, if, in my opinion, I know we're not getting on AEW stuff tonight, but you do this and you're a little groggy, you do it again and you get pissed off. Come on! That's different. That's like a different version of hulking up. But just acting there like you're Lex Luger and Bruiser Brody, nah, I didn't like it. Didn't like it. My face hurts now. All right, let's start bringing this home. We've already gone 33 minutes. Wanted to give you an overall scope of things. One other thing that I thought was really freaking cool today. Did you happen to see all the drone work that WWE did? They did something in Saudi Arabia that this would be so much fun to see them do now on a regular basis. They did what is called drone imagery. They use drones and they use lighting into the sky for the entrances of some of the wrestlers, if not all of them. I didn't get screenshots of all. I mean, I should have spent more time on it. But imagine you're driving down Saudi Arabia Highway, if that's even a thing. Yes, they have highways, but I don't know if there's one called Saudi Arabia Highway. There's one thing that really pissed me off today about this show. I will tell you in a minute. I think you all agree with me as well. There's one thing that I thought was really stupid, but that's in the sky from the drones. That's damage control. That is Karrion Kross with the hourglass. That is Bianca Belair with the lips. We got Bray Wyatt with the moth. I thought that was this was my favorite one of them all. Roman Reigns and Logan Paul. I mean, that's in the sky, man. That is some creative, great shit, man. Again, it's about spectacle. It's spectacle. That's especially Crown Jewels, Saudi Arabia. Everything is spectacle. They don't want 5-star matches. I mean, some people were criticizing online the Saudi fans today for chanting "This is awesome" too many times. Who the fuck are you to tell a fan when they feel something is awesome and something is not? I'm going to have that conversation on Monday. Or maybe we'll wait till next Wednesday, because Wednesday is AEW NXT day. You know, Jade Cargill just did an interview, and she said that if they were given enough time, the women can have a five-star match. And in my honest opinion, that's one of the biggest problems of pro wrestling today. You're more concerned about how many stars your match gets instead of how quick you could get those fans off your feet. You look at Sami Zayn, you look at other people right now, you don't have to have a five-star match, and those fans will lose their shit in entertainment. It's not about entertaining the fans for some people. It's about how many match stars they could get. That is such a huge problem in pro wrestling today. We'll talk about it Wednesday. But for today, let's start filling the blanks. Crown Jewel. Can I tell you now the one thing that really pissed me off today about Crown Jewel? This pissed me off. Then we'll get into match results. Boy, does Saudi Arabia pepper spray suck. I mean, here in New York, in the United States, thousands of miles away, the perception we get in the country of India is a lot of phone scams. You know, you are due a $399 refund from Geek Squad, from McAfee. Go get gift cards. Go to Walmart, buy gift cards. That's the perception. You know, you can't go into Saudi Arabia's airport from the United States with pepper spray in your bag. No matter how much of a victim you're afraid of, you cannot go overseas with pepper spray in your bag. So in storyline, Scarlett bought her pepper spray in Saudi Arabia. That, again, this is Triple H creative. Somebody in the back came up with this idea like, Scarlett, you're going to spray Drew McIntyre square in the fucking face. Better shot. The money shot, better money shot today than the last event. You're also going to spray it in the referee the eyes. Remember the last time he got sprayed with pepper spray? Especially that referee today? That referee should have been like, ah! Ah! My neighbor upstairs must think I'm getting assaulted right now. We can't use the R word. She sprays Drew McIntyre square in the face with pepper spray. The money shot. Couldn't have done it better. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. He's fine. I was like, come on, man. And if you're Drew McIntyre, I love Drew McIntyre. When you're pulling Karrion Kross back into the ring, how do you not fucking hold your eyes or trying to sell it and you're pulling him in with the other leg? Fucking Hulk Hogan now with pepper spray. You know, when you used to punch Hulk. Today, that was awful. That was fucking, it's unacceptable. Pepper spray. No one sold it. Suddenly, pepper spray does nothing to your eyes. Zero. That easily was, in my opinion, maybe the worst creative mishap that Triple H has done since he's taken total control. Benjamin is like screaming, isn't necessary. He probably wasn't tuning into the thing. Or maybe he had the volume really loud because Benjamin is deaf. Maybe he's in a library right now. And everybody, shh. And he's hearing me. And in a sudden, now he knows it. He hears me screaming. I'm not going to scream again. So I should have done headphone warning. I know some people do that. So we did not get Sami Zayn there for obvious reasons. You know about him with religion, just as MVP was not there because of him being an atheist now. And, you know, there's various reasons why some people refuse to appear. Kevin Owens and others, you know the deal. So we don't have to get into social studies class today. Wade Barrett was on commentary with Michael Cole. The one thing about I love it with Wade Barrett, I don't know if anybody's written this online yet. Anyone else out there just love the way Wade Barrett says Bianca Belair's name? He always says Bianca. Oh, she's got a big challenge in front of her with Bianca. Every time I hear that, I start laughing, man. So the opening match today, it was, in fact, Brock Lesnar beating Bobby Lashley. And I grabbed this screenshot, and as I put on social media, guys, gals, this is the look on your face when you go down the first time in your life. If you've never had that experience yet and you finally get the opportunity to go down on someone, that is the look on your face when you go down on them for the first time. Yeah, that was probably my look in 1989. Again, wow, this is two shows in a row. I get to reference Public Enemy. This match was shorter than I thought it was going to be, but it did its job. It was a great match. I don't think there was any question. We knew Brock Lesnar was going to win this. Now it's tied 1-1. So when does the rubber match happen? Do you do it at Survivor Series? I say no. Is it needed for Survivor Series? I don't think it's needed. Maybe do that at WrestleMania. Who else is Brock Lesnar going to fight at WrestleMania? So Bobby Lashley loses to Brock. Bobby Lashley getting a lot of heel heat today. May have gotten the most heel heat of them all. Saudi Arabia show, we talk about it here. Brock Lesnar is one of the most beloved people in Saudi Arabia. You probably have Undertaker number one. Brock Lesnar might be number two as far as the roster goes. He is so over with that Saudi crowd, and they were 90% behind him today. Bobby Lashley getting a lot of heel heat from the fans. Before the bell even strikes, they're fighting outside the ring. Bobby Lashley takes Brock Lesnar, throws him into the ring steps. Brock Lesnar selling a knee injury. Bobby Lashley with a few spears, including one through the barricade. Bell finally rings. Let's go, Lesnar. Chanting for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, with a brief comeback, hits three suplexes on Bobby Lashley and an F5, only for a two count, but selling the knee a little bit. Bobby Lashley regains control, getting booed, and he's playing into it. You know, he's playing into it. And at the end of the match, if you look closely, Brock Lesnar gave instructions to the referee to give instructions to Bobby Lashley to put him in a hurt lock after the match was over. I don't know if you noticed that, but I did. Go back and watch. You'll see what I'm talking about. Bobby Lashley with a spine buster, big time booze. Then we get to the finish of the match. He applies the hurt lock in the middle of the ring. Brock Lesnar's acting like he may go out. And what Brock Lesnar did was the same thing pretty much of what we had with Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey minus the tap. If you remember, Liv Morgan, she went into the corner, fell backwards on top of Ronda Rousey, and as she was tapping, she pinned Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's shoulders got pinned. We had the same exact thing today. How many times have I said to you that Triple H is doing finishes over and over again? You don't even realize it. How many times have we said already, but that's not the legal person in the ring? The person doesn't know. We saw that with Toxic Attraction. We saw that over and over. We've seen it with Damage Control. We've seen it at least 7 or 8 times in only a few months. That happened tonight with the Usos versus the Brawling Brutes. It's just that people don't want to pay attention to stuff like, oh, you're nitpicking too much. But if it's Vince McMahon, it would be plastered everywhere. So Brock Lesnar, who's in the Hurt Lock, goes towards the corner, pushes himself off, lands on top of Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's not breaking the Hurt Lock. Brock is not tapping, but Brock is laid on top of Bobby Lashley, whose shoulders are on the mat. 1, 2, 3. Brock Lesnar wins the match. Bobby Lashley in almost shock of what went down. After the match is over, Bobby Lashley puts Brock in a hurt lock. Brock selling like he's almost passed out. And then Bobby Lashley leaves the ring, and, you know, Brock selling it. You know, give Brock credit, man. He sold that hurt lock after, and he's with his neck. You know, that was good, man. It was a fun opener to the show. Katie to WC, what's up? We get a promo for Survivor Series War Games. We also get a video package for Liv Morgan. Alexa Bliss and Asuka interview before the match. That's where I showed you earlier. The moth appears on the screen, and Alexa's like, you know, a little rattled, a little startled more than anything else, but that's the play up to the net. Now you'll get tens of thousands of people. You see, they are going that route. No, they're not. They're just jerking you around. WWE's going to continue doing that. So, Asuka and Alexa Bliss lose the women's tag team championships to Io Sky and Dakota Kai. First half of the match was pretty much Io Sky and Asuka fighting one-on-one, which is the match we all been wanting. So we've been wanting to see them two feud. They dominated most of the beginning of the half of the match, and they should. Even though Alexa Bliss did great today, she actually hit a lot of her moves. You know, some of the acrobatic stuff, is she would just eliminate that, you know, and replace it with something else. You know, when she flips upside down and her knee usually, you know, hits the blue canvas instead of the person's body, or might hit like this side of their ankle or something instead of like squaring in the face. If she would just eliminate those, that little flurry of acrobatics she does, I'm telling you, this is not criticizing Alexa Bliss. I'm a big fan of hers. We root for her here. She definitely, you know, is not the strong link of the team. So Asuka dominating the first half of the match was the right way to go. But towards the end of the match, Alexa Bliss gets the hot tag. And she's laying out Dakota Kai. She's laying out Io Sky. She hits the code red out of nowhere for a two count, which looked really good on TV. But what happens? Alexa Bliss, we get one final big spot. Alexa Bliss climbs the middle rope. We get damage control. They both go into the corner, and they're about to give Alexa Bliss a superplex while she's sitting on the top turnbuckle. And then Asuka shows up, and she grabs both members of damage control. So Asuka basically drops damage control, who did not let go of Alexa Bliss. And you get that move where everybody gets hurt. So they're all laid out in the ring. Alexa Bliss ends up getting a little bit of an upper hand. She hits a German suplex. Dakota Kai gets the upper hand on Asuka, gives her a kick in the head for a two count. Alexa Bliss ends up in the ring, goes for Twisted Bliss on Dakota Kai, but Io Sky distracts her. Alexa Bliss lands her knees on Io Sky. Alexa Bliss with a DDT on Io Sky. Now Io Sky and Asuka are brawling. And they brawl into the ring, and that's to distract the referee. While the referee is trying to get Sky and Asuka out of the ring, here comes Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross, who gets involved in the match. Alexa Bliss is on the top rope trying to hit Twisted Bliss. Nikki Cross wails her, gets involved, interferes, and the referee's still distracted. That allows Dakota Kai to hit a finisher on Alexa Bliss. She pins Alexa Bliss, and your new women's tag team champions, Io Sky, Dakota Kai. So again, I don't need to repeat what I said earlier, but you know how people still don't understand why that title change happened on Raw. You know, hopefully they figure it out now. Karrion Kross loses to Drew McIntyre. Actually, you know what we should do? I just realized it. We didn't even put the things on the screen. Hang on a second. Let's reset this. Hold on. There we go. Where are you? Here we go. Okay. So we had Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. Be nice we put on the screen. Some people like to see the pictures so they can see as far as what match we're talking about right now. So, steel cage match. Karrion Kross loses to Drew McIntyre. Karrion Kross with the upper advantage, early advantage. Crowd is into it. That helped a lot. This probably was Karrion Kross's most successful match yet in WWE. And the superplex that he took from the top of the cage, people will be talking about that for a while. You know, is it going to be a move that we remember 3 years from now? No. But this was probably their best match, and the Saudi crowd really helped it. In fact, I think this match is the first time we heard of "This is awesome" chant at all the whole night. They start off Cross with the upper hand early, utilizing the cage, you know, raking Drew McIntyre's face in the cage. Then Drew McIntyre starts getting the upper hand, ramming Karrion Kross's face in the cage, using the cage as a weapon, which is what should be done more with cage matches. They start battling on the top rope, and this was a fun move. Karrion Kross headbutts Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, who's standing on the middle rope, falls backwards, and he's literally upside down in the corner. So Kross is teasing like he's going to do some move off the top, the middle rope onto Drew, and Drew gets up. That's not easy to do when you're that big and you're laying out upside down, but he gets up. He lifts up and drops Karrion Kross, and crowd is chanting, "This is awesome." So far, this match is a lot of fun. It's a little bit slow at times, but the crowd was into it, and these guys were working their ass off. I tell you, it almost feels like maybe one more match is in order for these guys. You know, it just feels like maybe one more match. I don't know, you know, if that's going to happen. But, you know, a lot of verbiage. You know, Karrion Kross telling Drew McIntyre he hates him. Drew McIntyre hits a spinebuster for a two. Kross immediately turns it into a sleeper. Kross attempts the cross hammer, but out of nowhere, Drew hits the Future Shock DDT. Goes in the corner, teases the Claymore, but here comes Scarlett with a distraction. Now, I looked at Scarlett's outfit closely. That's not any type of perverted statement. I was trying to see if she has a purse, if she has somewhere where she could have hid pepper spray. And I didn't see any. So I thought, okay, maybe we won't see pepper spray tonight. So she just distracts Drew McIntyre. And I don't know if you noticed, but if you look closely, did you notice the spikes that Scarlett glued to her face? I don't know if you all saw that tonight. I thought that was awesome, man. I don't know if you saw that. But she distracts Drew McIntyre, and cage opens up. Drew McIntyre is going to try to get out of the cage. He gets the upper hand on Kross. Cage opens up, and here comes Scarlett, and here's where the stupid moment of the night. Drew McIntyre is about to leave the cage. He's face-to-face with Scarlett. Scarlett sprays him square in the face again with pepper spray, and she sprays the referee, and she does that to the referee because she gets the key. So now Drew is selling the pepper spray for a few seconds, and here comes Karrion Kross slowly on his knees trying to crawl out of the cage. But suddenly Drew McIntyre no longer sells the pepper spray, not even in the least. He grabs Karrion Kross's leg, pulls him back in the ring. Cage is locked once again. Drew McIntyre realizes that the cage is locked. Scarlett is teasing him. She's got the key, and she ain't opening the door. So Drew McIntyre says, okay, no problem. You want to keep the door locked? I'll climb over the cage. So Drew McIntyre starts climbing to the top of the cage. So now Scarlett, how is she going to stop him? She ain't going to climb the cage. So she's like, fuck. She grabs the key, and she's trying to unlock the cage door, but she's a little bit slow in doing it. She did it perfectly. She finally gets the door open, and Kross is trying to now get out of the cage quickly, but Drew hits both feet on the floor, and he actually wins the match. I thought the ending, if they didn't do the pepper spray, I thought the ending would have been perfect. It was very, very good match. A few people are saying put Scarlett in a like a shark cage. If they do another match, yeah, I would be fine with that. I would be fine with that. I think that would, you know, be interesting that, you know, she cannot get involved in any way. I don't know how you all feel if there should be another match, but I honestly think Kross, this might have been his best showing so far. You know, and the Saudi crowd really was into the match, and it helped him a lot. So, next match on the card. And again, this is the one, like I said, I don't understand the logic of them bringing up, leading up to Crown Jewel, that they got to do something about Rhea Ripley. The Judgment Day defeats the OC. Now, we're all thinking that when the OC comes out, they're going to introduce us to somebody who's going to be there to neutralize Rhea Ripley. Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan, anybody, somebody. So Mia Yim was another great choice that some came up with. They come out with nobody. And now I'm thinking in the back of my mind, okay, they planted that seed too many times. Somebody's got to come out and neutralize Rhea Ripley. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe somebody's music is going to hit. Someone's music is going to hit. And no, it doesn't. So early in the match, Dominic getting a decent amount of offense. I don't know if anybody notices, hairspray banned in Saudi Arabia? And I'm not even like trying to be funny about that. Like Dominic had no hairspray. His hair looked a little ridiculous. Some people tonight, I think that could have used a little bit of hair gel or hairspray. People didn't have much of it. I mean, I know some people had something in the hair, but Dominic just decided to go like, you know, his old route with his hair. It just, I don't know. I mean, it should have been slick back greased, but they didn't get that. Dominic doing a lot of early on in the match. And this felt like a Raw match, to be honest with you. I mean, the crowd loves the OC. And to see AJ and Finn Balor going at it is always fun to watch. But once again, Rhea Ripley gets involved. You know, towards the end of the match, AJ and Finn are going at it. Rhea Ripley, they show camera spot on her, and she looks worried, frustrated, you know, that the OC may actually win this match. But once again, towards the end, Rhea Ripley interferes. She gets into it with AJ Styles. This allows Finn Balor to capitalize. And meanwhile, Michael Cole is like screaming, like, somebody's got to kick her ass. Somebody's got to do something about Rhea Ripley. Like, and I'm thinking, okay, whose music's going to hit? Whose music is going to hit? Somebody's going to come out. And I was thinking, wow, that would be a perfect moment for Edge and Beth Phoenix, or even just Beth Phoenix at first, you know? Or Edge could show up as well and chase Dominic away or something. But no, we get no music. Rhea Ripley interferes. Finn Balor hits the coup de grace, attacks AJ Styles, wins. And I'm like, this feels like one match too many that they did this. Maybe just WWE felt like, you know what, we'll do something for Survivor Series instead. That's kind of how it felt like. Mike, they're definitely not doing the Bloodline versus the Judgment Day. They are definitely not doing that. It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all, but they're not going that route. It's going to be more of a personal feud. They're leading up to this. And, you know, no, we're not going to get Naomi to join the Bloodline and a feud with Rhea Ripley. I know this is fantasy stuff, and that's cool and everything, but as far as WWE, Survivor Series is only 3 weeks away. I think a lot of people don't realize it's only 3 weeks away. So you only have, what, two, you know, SmackDowns? Is it two or three? But, you know, we only have a couple left. So tomorrow is, I mean, Monday is where you're going to start seeing matches, full-blown, announced. So, yeah, it's only two. You only got two shows, each one, before Survivor Series. Big deal. So nobody comes out, and Michael Cole leaving us with somebody's got to do something about Rhea Ripley. So you think of suspension of disbelief. Why isn't Adam Pearce in storyline getting involved with this? You know, but again, why didn't the OC show up? It's obviously not their fault. It's storyline, but I think it was very, very foolish to plant that seed for the last 2 weeks, and then the OC is stupid enough not to have anybody in their corner to neutralize Rhea Ripley. So, all right, next match on the card. This was a lot better than I think a lot of people realized. Now, before the match went on, they did a tail of the tape, and Omos, 416 pounds, Braun, 335. Their chests are only 1 inch apart. Their necks are only 1 inch apart. Braun has a 16 quadruple E shoe. Omos is an 18. And this was fluff, gaga, test of strength. Omos with a boatload of offense. What I got from this match is, as I said at the beginning, Omos sells his offense now. Really, really good. Omos is starting to become a character. Omos is confident in the ring. He's taunting. He's very vocal, verbiage, cocky, arrogant. You know, Amos did that towards squash matches with 130-pound guys that would get no offense. This is, I personally think, Omos's best match in his WWE career so far, because he's facing someone, you know, that's legitimately a main eventer in some cases. And the story of this match was simple. Omos dominated about 90% of this match. Braun would get a little bit of offense. Omos would have an answer to it. Omos sells his offense really, really good. Braun Strowman sells his defense really, really good. Omos sells his fighting. Braun sells his selling. Braun's selling for Omos looked great. Omos fighting with his offense looked great until the very end. Now, I don't know why nobody put screenshots of this. I couldn't find one. Maybe they just didn't think it was a big deal, but for me, it was. Towards the end of the match, and listen, Omos, look at the body slams that he hit on Braun. He, I mean, not only picked up Braun, but held him. And Omos looked like a different wrestler today. And again, yeah, when you're one-sided and everything he does is offense, you know, of course, but what he dished out in offense today looked the best it did. The end of the match, though, I had a problem with. Towards the end of the match, Omos hits a body slam for a two count. Braun tries to get a little offense in, but Omos quickly reverses it, drops Braun to the mat. He then picks up Braun, throws him in the corner. Now, what was supposed to happen is Omos runs towards the corner to give Braun a splash. Braun gets out of the way. Omos misses. And that's pretty much what we had with a button there. Omos throws Braun in the corner, runs to the corner to go to splash Braun Strowman. Braun goes out of the way. Omos hits the corner turnbuckle, bounces off, and then Braun greets him with a hard power slam. One, two, three. So Braun literally just hit one move and beat Omos out of nowhere. The problem is, if you go watch Omos, Omos did his offense as good as he possibly can do. But that one screw up, he still has a lot to learn. He ran in the corner, and it looked like he got like he paused for a split second. So when he ran in the corner, his momentum slowed down, and it looked really, really bad. You watch again when Omos, that guy should have charged that corner at full speed and then just trust Braun to get out of the way. I think Omos, in his mind, thought that he was going a little too fast towards the corner and pulled back for a split quarter of a second, half a second, and you could see, like, it just was sloppy. He hits the corner, he gets out, Braun picks him up, power slam, one, two, three, and Braun Strowman wins. Again, if you watch that match, up until the very end, I think Omos did a great job. Hell, even outside the ring. You know, Braun goes for that running, you know, they used to call it the choo-choo train or whatever, and he did that, Omos, and Omos countered, knocked Braun on his ass. It was a fun match. I mean, this was, I think we could say this, this was probably the best match that they could have given us. It was not bad at all. It was not bad at all. Omos definitely showed me a little bit today. So, all right, next match. All right, there might be some legit news coming out of this. I don't know if you're aware of it. The Usos versus the Brawling Brutes. Now, I have a picture that I want to show you. Do I have it? Yes, I do. Look at Jey Uso's right arm. Yeah, that kind of looks just like a sleeve, even like something like the Hardys would wear or something like that. But there is tape around Jey Uso's wrist. And Michael Cole said today that Jey Uso thinks that he broke his wrist while they were touring overseas. And he is going to have an MRI Monday to determine if he has a broken wrist. Now, I will say this. If Jey Uso could wrestle like that tonight with a broken wrist, the Usos have no problem becoming the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions of all time. It is concerning. It obviously is concerning because we don't know how serious the injury is. Hopefully, maybe it's just a hairline fracture and, you know, they could just keep it taped up and they just be very careful. And look, how many weeks do we get the bloodline on TV and Sammy doesn't wrestle or Roman doesn't wrestle? You know, you can have Jimmy Uso take up a lot of the offense and just pull back a little bit on Jay. But you go back and you watch this match today, man. I mean, Jey Uso did a lot. I mean, early on, we're thinking, okay, Jimmy Uso will do the bulk of the match just to play it safe, and Jay will hit his spots here and there. But no, Jay went full-blown into this match. Playing the heel, the crowd is chanting, "We want Sammy, Sammy Uso." And he's telling the crowd, "You ain't getting Sammy Uso." And the crowd kind of booing at Jey Uso. This was a fun match. You know, at one point, the Usos teased that they were going to just grab their belts and leave, and Butch dives onto both of them. It felt like a SmackDown match. Ridge Holland, more over than I expected him to be, despite it being a Saudi crowd. And early on, you know, you got Jey Uso in the ring more than I expected. But ultimately, towards the middle of the match, Jimmy Uso would take over. And Butch would be in the ring mostly with Jimmy Uso. And then both guys go for the hot tag. Ridge is now in the ring. Jey Uso is in the ring. Ridge getting a lot of power moves in. At one point, he picks up both Usos and drops them to the mat. He grabs Jey and is going to give us the 10 Sheamus beats, the forearms. He gets to 9, but Jimmy Uso pulls Jey outside the ring. And Butch gets into it with Jey Uso, gives a little receipt to Jey. He basically whacks his hand into the ring steps, a little receipt for what they did to Sheamus. But ultimately, the Usos start getting the upper hand. Double splash onto Butch. Ridge Holland breaks up the count. Butch is getting into it with Jey Uso, and Butch now is biting the hand of Jey, acting like as Michael Cole said, if his hand wasn't broken, it's broken now, because if you know anything about Pete Dunne in NXT, what he likes to do, snapping the fingers, little Raven-esque, if you know what I mean. Ridge hitting White Noise, which looked tremendous. A lot of people popped for the White Noise, but only getting the 2 count. We're getting This Is Awesome chance once again, but the end of the match, all four guys are on the mat. You get Ridge Holland going at it with Jey Uso. You get Butch going at it with Jimmy Uso. The problem is, Jey Uso is the legal man in the ring. So here's Butch focusing only on Jimmy Uso. Meanwhile, Jey Uso, but Jimmy Uso is the legal man in the ring. So Jimmy hits him out of nowhere. And they hit Butch with 3D off the top freaking rope. I saw Bully Ray immediately pop for that on social media. It looked phenomenal. They hit 3D off the top rope, and they get the win. So let me tell you something. There was a lot of people online that actually thought at some points that the Brawling Brutes were going to get this. That's very, very difficult for them to pull off. Because everybody and their mother believes that the Usos are passing the New Day and breaking the record. But once they planted that seed that there might be something wrong with his wrist, if it's something very, very serious, some people think, oh my God, they may be forced to drop the tag titles because of it. I mean, we had 2 7/8 counts sometimes. This match was a lot of fun. Crowd was into it. But I got to give props to Jey Uso. Even if it ends up that his wrist is fine. He did a lot more than I expected in this match. Very, very good match. All right, next, as we talked about earlier, Bianca Belair retaining the Raw Women's Championship over Bayley in a Last Woman Standing match. The first half of the match, very, very mild. And if you go back and you watch it, the suplex on the rampway was like the most intense move that Michael Cole had called up to that point. And I honestly thought that this match may be forced to be watered down because it is Saudi Arabia. Maybe they can't, or maybe they just requested that they, you know, that these girls not do as much as what was expected. But then you say to yourself, well, why even announce it as a false count anywhere match anyway, or last woman standing match, I should say. So the fact that they had a last woman standing match, obviously something was going to go down. And then they started getting really, really physical, bringing in the tables, bringing in the ladders, bringing in the chairs, bringing in the Singapore canes. They're brawling up the rampway. As I showed you earlier, Bailey brings a chest into play, throws Bianca in it, and I think at the eight count, Bianca whips open the cover, whacks Bailey with it. Then Bailey goes to the back, comes out with a golf cart. They're going at it a little bit. There was a little bit of quirkiness with it because Bailey, I don't know if they were going to try to tease that she was going to run over Bianca with it, but like it was kind of like a wet fart. I mean, like Bailey's going down the rampway, and we're like, oh my God, oh my God. No, this was not going to be a Sammy Guevara, Matt Hardy moment, or Kenny Omega, however you want to look at it. Like, Bailey stopped. And right when the golf cart got up to Bianca, Bianca was just like, oh, let me just get out of the way. It fell a little flat. But then they started brawling, and somehow Bailey gets caught on the top of the golf cart, as I showed you earlier over here. And now I'm thinking Bianca's going to ride down the rampway and she's going to run into the side of the ring. And then that's going to force Bailey to get dropped off of the... But she stops right in front of a table. And it looked a little bit scary for a moment. Bianca goes to grab Bailey and dump her, drop her through the table, and she overshot it. And they were selling it that Bailey hit the table spine first. Table did not break. So some people thought it may have hit the back of her head. So the referee is checking on Bailey, and she was okay, thank God. Bailey is picked up by Bianca, and Bianca throws her through the table. Somehow Bailey gets up before the count of 10. Now we get kind of a repeat of what we saw with Liv Morgan and Sonya Deville from SmackDown. Here, now you got chairs being thrown in the ring. And ultimately, Bianca Belair goes to hit a 450 onto Bailey, who's laid out on the chairs. She gets out of the way, and Bailey moves out of the way. Bianca goes through all the chairs. So now, you know, a lot of people predicted that Bailey was going to win. In fact, I got to be honest with you, it seemed like the Saudi crowd may have been more towards the end of the match rooting for Bailey than Bianca Belair. But ultimately, Bianca would get the upper hand. She had a KOD onto Bailey with the chair that I did not get a screenshot of it, but it looked vicious. It looked freaking vicious. And then Bailey gets tied into the corner. There you go, with the ladder. And Bailey is tied up in a way that she can't get out. And give her credit, because really all you got to do is just like stick your leg underneath the ladder and just like push yourself out. But she's selling it that she can't get out from under that ladder. And the referee is counting the 10. And because she is laid out, she could be counted out, and sure enough, she cannot get up. Yeah, it's the Cena Batista finish. Yes, absolutely. I mean, most finishes we see today are not revolutionary. But Bailey cannot answer the count of 10. Bianca Belair is your winner. She retains the championship. No Sky or Kai at ringside, by the way, at the end of this. And no Asuka and Alexa Bliss as well towards the end of this. But it was probably, I enjoyed this match more than Extreme Rules. I don't know why. And they killed it at Extreme Rules. But, you know, this just felt looking in hindsight, it was building, building, and building to something really special. So this was really good. I enjoyed it. And now the question is, who's Bianca's next opponent? Could it be Charlotte Flair? Because most of us think Charlotte Flair, SmackDown, it kind of makes more sense. You know, we don't know. We don't know. For all we know, it could end up being on Raw. And maybe she goes at it with Bianca Belair. Some people think that's the WrestleMania match, Bianca Belair versus Charlotte. So we will know. But if it's not this Monday, by next Monday, we should know what's going on with Charlotte, which brand. I don't think they're going to tease that she could be on either brand. She's got to be on one or the other. So, yeah, the EST versus the Queen. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, by the way, here, little random thing. Before we saw Crown Jewel go on the air, Triple H and Stephanie made an appearance to the live crowd. This is actually a clip of it. So if you want to see. So, yeah, they were playing the music. There you go. Crowd was into it. Triple H looking good. Stephanie looking good with the nice pantsuit. You know, she looked good in brown. So crowd was into it, man. There's a lot of pictures online with WWE, with Saudi Arabia. I saw this one with the Usos. I don't know if you guys saw this one. Let me pull this one up. This was a pretty cool shot as well. They're with the Crown Prince. I like Paul Heyman's look more than anything. That was pretty cool. There's a lot of photos online if you want to go check them out. So, all right. So let's bring this home. I know we talked about the final two moments already in this show, but we'll just recap it again. Bray Wyatt comes out, feels the same as the last two appearances we've seen him coming out on live TV. Crowd is really, really happy to see him. He gets on the microphone and he thanks everyone. He reveals that he comes from a very prestigious family, that some may even say that they're larger than life. He says that when he was a kid, he always wanted to be greater than great, but he had given in. He settled for less because he needed to do that. And since he gave in, it created a monster. And he talks about the mask. When he wore the mask, he no longer felt pain. He was no longer afraid. He felt untouchable, and that felt good. And some people feel that those sensations are impossible to quit. He ended up being in the kingdomhood of nothingness. The mask killed him. Then an interesting little moment. He says that he was alone, and now the crowd starts chanting, "We love you. We love you. We love you." Bray Wyatt ignores it. Bray Wyatt says, "No one loved me. I don't even love me. But this does not have to be the ending of my story. This is not the man I want to be remembered as. My name is Bray Wyatt. My name is Bray Wyatt. My name is..." I mean, he's just intensifying as he keeps saying it. He says, "My name is Bray Wyatt, and I will rewrite the ending of my story." And then the next thing you know, as I played for you earlier, Uncle Howdy goes on the screen. And I'm sure you all wouldn't mind hearing it one more time. This is what Uncle Howdy had to say to Bray. And as we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, Uncle Howdy is what we are seeing is what is being played out inside Bray Wyatt's head. You are seeing a visual of the demons trying to get through Bray Wyatt in his head.
Why? It must hurt, hurt, forcing yourself to be someone you're not. You can fool them, but you can't fool me. Can't fool me. Do it. After all, who knows you better than I do? Do you think they still love you? If they knew the truth, if they all knew the truth, they don't deserve you. The truth is, you're gonna go too far. You're gonna give in. So why wait? Because When you do, remember just how good it feels.
How good it feels.
And oof, it's gonna feel so good.
So good.
Do it.
And
if you're worried about the aftermath,
do it.
Hurt them. Just
don't take the mask off.
Don't take the mask off.
So there's a secret. There's secrets about Bray Wyatt. Would we still love him if we knew the secrets? So, again, to be continued for quite some time. I'm excited to see what the next step is. Get used to that this is a cinematic storyline. Get used to it. Now, I have said I would not be surprised if he doesn't have a match at WrestleMania and it's a cinematic match. That's an awfully long ways away. It almost feels like he has to have a match beforehand. But, obviously we have to see where this goes next. Uncle Harper character still has to be introduced. That has not happened yet. And that's going to be really emotional. Understand, that's a little tribute to Luke Harper. And that's going to be the angelic side. And, because of his love for his fallen friend and the fans' love for Brody Lee, that is going to be if you're really into this right now, imagine the strings WWE is going to hit when they introduce that character. And then you need the battle of those two, and then we'll see where it goes. So I could be way wrong on this, but honestly, if you've paid attention week after week, we've been 100% accurate so far. 100%. So Bray Wyatt, after Uncle Howdy leaves, we don't hear anything else from Bray Wyatt. And we go to more vignettes. We had a Cody Rhodes vignette tonight. We had a Charlotte Flair vignette. Seth Rollins, Liv Morgan, War Games. Many, many vignettes, video packages, to kill time. Interesting that they chose to do that more than the storyline builds. I mean, they did show the build of Logan versus Roman. They did show some builds, but a lot of times they replaced the hype with just random video packages. They've done this for a while right now, but your main event tonight, as we talked about earlier, Roman Reigns retaining the WWE Universal Undisputed Universal Championship, beating Logan Paul, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson reference tonight, Apollo Creed, Rocky Balboa reference tonight. Logan, the storyline of this was Roman Reigns underestimated Logan Paul and what he could do. And look at this early on. Look at Roman Reigns' reaction early on. I don't know if I could zoom in on this. Oh, yes, I can. Look at his reaction. He's smiling. He's like, I'm not going to have any problem with this guy. In fact, I think Wade Barrett even said early on that this was going to be the easiest night in Roman Reigns' championship reign so far. And this was a banger. And Logan Paul, once again, you could see all the work that he's put in, it's starting to pay off. I mean, Roman Reigns obviously carried him at times as well, but Logan Paul early on with the advantage. And, WWE commentators teasing a possible upset here. Logan, unfortunately, getting a little too cocky. Roman gets the upper hand, and this is where it went very, very slow. Roman taunting Logan. Roman, I think, even called himself the Beast at one time. I could have sworn he called himself the Beast. If anybody knows social media, why I'm saying that. And, Logan, usually when a heel is taunting his opponent and he's got him in a move, usually the heel just sells pain and keeps quiet. But Logan is, he's responding back, no, you're wrong. I think that's more of an inexperienced wrestler who feels they have to put in a word as well. You probably know what I'm talking about here. There was one moment, and look, I know the obvious, but I have to, whenever I get a chance to pay tribute to Chris Kanyon, I always will. You know that. Had the privilege of knowing him a little bit personally, not too much, back in the McClancy Malloy St. Francis prep days, back in the middle, late 80s. But at one point tonight, Logan Paul hit this, and everybody's like, oh my God, that's so fucked up. Hangman Page, Buckshot Lariat. Wait, whoa, whoa, let's look at it one more time. Oh, look, he's ripping off Hangman Page, Buckshot Lariat. You know, I originally posted this on Twitter, but, you know, I don't want to look like a dick to Hangman Page. The guy just suffered, what could have been a very serious injury. So I deleted it, but I'll show it to you here. If everybody thinks that Hangman Page invented the Buckshot Lariat, my friends, this is Chris Kanyon in the late 90s in WCW under the Mortis mask. There you go. There you go. Rest in peace, Chris Kanyon. Rest in peace. Chris Kanyon doesn't get enough love. And he's not the only one that's hit that move. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Rest in peace, Chris Kanyon. We could always celebrate him one more time. There you go. There you go. A lot of people love that guy. Very, very sad to see him pass away such an early age and preventable. So, oh, you're very welcome, Psycho. You know, anytime I could celebrate, this is not to mock Hangman Page, this is just to remember everyone, there is a little bit more there. And you know what? I didn't expect many of you to even know that. And no, you're not required. And no, I do not grill you for that either. So there's a lot of things I don't know that sometimes you bring up to me and you educate me as well. So you scratch my back, I scratch yours. So, all right. So this match going back and forth, Roman Reigns not taking it seriously. Superman punch by Logan Paul, two count. Another Superman punch by Logan Paul once again, two count. Somehow Logan Paul gets Roman Reigns on a table, gets back in the ring, climbs the rope, has a phone, decides to do a little bit of Austin Theory, grabs the phone, and then this happens. Oh, wait, wait. Be nice if I showed you the video, right? Can't show you too much. Can't get copyright issues here. So, you know, beautiful. Was that a frog splash? We got to look at that again. Was that a frog splash or was that an elbow? Was that the frog elbow? Let's look at that again. I'm kind of like undecided. Maybe he changed his mind at the last second. Let's look again. Watch. No, I think that was a frog splash. I think that was just a frog splash. So he puts Roman through the table and now the Usos come out. And again, this felt very Vince McMahon-ish. But of course, look, you got Jake Paul there. Jake Paul, the brother of Logan Paul, you know, he was going to be in the corner of his brother. So you knew he was going to make an appearance. Unfortunately, I didn't like the Jake Paul stuff. None against him with his boxing. But what happens is after Roman gets put through a table, the Usos show up. They're a little concerned about Roman. And then you got Jake Paul's entourage. Logan Paul's entourage that came with Jake Paul. They're at ringside. Jake Paul's not at ringside, I should add. So the Usos pull two of Logan Paul's entourage onto the floor, and they're beating on them a little bit. Now the music hits. And the funny thing is, this reminded me of AEW fans. And I'm not knocking. It shows you across the board. AEW fans, like, you could just play music. And if it's music you don't recognize, sometimes people will pop. You'll hear that sudden eruption that they, like, oh, fuck, oh, my God. And then you don't know who it is until the name pops on the screen. So you could hear that with the fans today. Music hits. We don't know whose music it is. And the Saudi fans, for a split second, you could hear that eruption. And then I guess they were like, oh, wait, who is it? And then Jake Paul's name is on it. And Jake Paul comes out. And, look, Jake Paul is a great boxer. Not taken away from him. But they have him lay out both Usos. I didn't like the way it looked. It looked kind of goofy. Jake Paul, you know, laying out both Usos. Now he tells his brother, Logan Paul, let's finish this shit. So as this is going down, Logan Paul hits a frog splash off the top rope. Only gets a two count. Solo Sikoa's music hits. Solo Sikoa comes out, and now the referees are separating Jake Paul and Solo Sikoa, preventing them from fighting. Now the Usos get the upper hand again. Usos get back on their feet. Now they're pissed off. They want to do something to Jake Paul. So right before they can attack Jake Paul outside the ring, Logan Paul dives over the side of the ring onto both Usos. Big mistake on Logan Paul's side. He took his eye off the match, dove onto the Usos. So he gets back in the ring, and Roman's like, hey, how you doing? Here's a Superman punch, motherfucker. Hits him with a Superman punch, lands a spear. 1, 2, 3. Roman Reigns retains the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. And as I showed you earlier, you know, I didn't want to show you Roman Reigns holding both championships up in the air after the win. This was Roman Reigns' reaction right after the match. The fuck did I just go through? Roman Reigns, telling you, man, Logan Paul is accepted by that locker room. And look, I'm not a big Logan Paul fan. I don't pay attention to social media stuff. Let's find a good one. I don't want to take any personal shots at anyone, but let's see if we can find a good one here. Do I even have a good one? Hey, you know what? Since they went political, why not? You know, if I could and get away with it without getting in trouble, pretend this is a Pokemon card, not a Colt Cabana card, but if I broke into Logan Paul's locker room, I'd take that Pokemon card and I would just play political. Oh, did you like that the other day? Oh, Tony Khan, it was his idea to put Colt Cabana on TV. Yeah, that's called trying to divert the heat away from the EVPs. And guess what, news reporters all report that because they need the EVP crumbs so much. You know what the funny thing is? If you want to believe that narrative, Tony Khan put Colt Cabana on TV because to send a message to the locker room of unity. Okay, what message did you send the locker room when you did shit with Colt Cabana the last 3 years? What message does that send that about 6 months from now, Colt Cabana is doing shit on TV again? Don't buy it, everyone. You know, we love AEW, want to see it prosper and do good, and I am a fan and I root for it, and I just want to be entertained. Don't fall for that dumb political shit. These EVPs and these websites and these news people will sell you a bag of beans. And unfortunately, a lot of people say, yeah, I'll take the beans because they don't want to ruffle feathers. So I appreciate every time you all write facts. It's not, you know, it doesn't make me feel good, but I try to make people aware. You know, not to be a dick. Did you see what came out the last 24 hours? Dave Shearer, guy that I don't like. I have no issue with him anymore. But Dave Shearer just reported that the investigation was a farce. Come on. We'll talk about that next week. Crown Jewel, I thought, was a very, very solid premium live event. Was it better than their last event in Saudi Arabia? No, I will say not. My favorite match of the night is Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul, but I will tell you that Bayley and Bianca Belair is a very close second. Those two women kill it. And I almost feel like that feud should go further because they just work so well together. But you know it's time to move on. My least favorite match, you know, that's kind of tough, man. Omos and Braun Strowman, you know, you don't expect them to have a three-star match. You know what you are likely to get, and I thought they exceeded it. And I'm not going to shit on Omos for one small screw-up at the very end. I freaking loved seeing Karrion Kross maybe have the breakout match that might turn the corner for him in WWE, but I can't get past that pepper spray. I can't get past that. You know, the other matches were fine. Nothing. We could admit this. There was no bad match tonight. There was no bad match tonight. But if there was one match that left me with, oh, come on, man. You were this close of it, and the pepper spray. I just can't get past that. The last match, the way they sold that pepper spray, and then today it's like, nah, she just sprayed water. Yeah, and you know what? Maybe that should have been the call of the commentators. But Michael Cole went out of his way multiple times after that and said, mace, mace, mace. And no, not masse. By the way, I got to say this, man. I'm not Saudi. I'm not Saudi. But I feel bad for those Saudi fans. Unless there was a dark match that I'm not aware of, maybe someone in the chat knows if there's a dark match or not. How do you not put Mansoor and Mustafa Ali on this show? By the way, I want to say this, you know, because it's not news, but just to show you like how stupid sausage could be. You know, people are saying, oh, the reason why MVP was not on Saudi Arabia. And then you click on it, you're like, oh, what happened? And then it's like, oh, he's an atheist. Yeah, we knew this for 3 years. That's not news. Well, why Corey Graves was not there more than anything is because Corey Graves is with his wife right now, Carmella. We talked about that last week, what happened to her. I'm sure somebody ultimately will figure out, hey, I could get views, clicks. Why wasn't Corey Graves a crown jewel? He was with his wife. That I know for sure. But I'm not putting it in the title. That's not news, but it's human. It's just, you know, human nature. It's just real life. So, yeah, she's going through something bad, man. I can only imagine. The more I looked into it, the more it freaked me out, man. I didn't even know what that was with her pregnancy. But I'm very surprised that no Mustafa Ali. Seth Rollins. Very surprised Seth Rollins wasn't on the card. Maybe something with Becky Lynch. I'm not saying anything was wrong, but maybe there was something that he had commitments to. But I'm very, very surprised. No Mansoor. No Mustafa Ali. Maybe you avoid Mansoor right now because the character, you know, as we said before, just because you dress the way the maximum male models dress, that doesn't mean it has anything to do with sexual orientation. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that see, you know, like, oh, you look at what Pretty Deadly wears. Oh, they're playing gay characters. You see Mansoor and him, like, you know, and he's wearing the mesh stuff and everything. Oh, he's playing like walking the fine line of sexuality. No, that's not the case. But that could ruffle feathers in Saudi Arabia because, yes, Mansoor is just playing a character, but, you know, it could be questionable. So I guess out of respect, they just didn't go there. But Mustafa Ali, I'm a little surprised. Little surprised. I hope I find out that there was a dark match and he was on there. Just for the local Saudi crowd, you know. So, all right. On a scale of 1 to 10, I will give this event a... Logan Paul exceeded my expectations. Omos exceeded my expectations. Bayley and Bianca was off the hook. The Usos did a great job. The Brawling Brutes did a great job. I mean, up and down this event. I'll give it a... 7.5, 8, you know, what? Yeah, I'll give it an eight, you know, look, you know, to go from 8 to 8.5 is a lot for me, and to go from 8 to 9 is a lot for me, so, I'll give it 7.5. If we would have got Seth Rollins and got one more really banger of a match, then I would give it 5. I'll go 7.5. I don't think that's bad at all. That's above, way above average. So 7.5. That's what I'm going with. So everyone, that is it for today. Now, I know one super chat came in earlier. Thank you, Just Joe. Oh, wait, that is old. This is, oh, no, two came in. Garrett Smith with 10 spot. First time sending a super chat, being part of a live stream. Love the time zone differences. Enjoying the show live. Crown Jewel was great. Maine was great. What's next for Roman Reigns? Survivor Series. Guys, gals, we got 5 or 6 weeks before Roman Reigns truly has to feud with someone else. So Survivor Series is next. Bloodline, cohesive unit. That's where we're going next. Could we see a Logan Paul-Roman Reigns rematch? If you're going to go to Rocky storyline, you almost feel like you got to. Because remember, to me, Rocky 2 was better than Rocky 1. Rocky 2 is my favorite Rocky movie of all time. You know, ain't going to be no rematch. Don't want one. It's my favorite line, two lines of the whole movie. And it was at the very end. So they could do that. But I think Survivor Series is where we go. It's where we go. Also, Mitchell Davies. Thank you for the five spot, my friend. Thank you for always keeping it real. Appreciate all you do, especially the pay-per-view. For the time, especially for the time for the people in UK. Wow, a shout out to my international friends. I guess this is a nice, ideal time for all of you. Now, if there was no Crown Jewel today, I would have done a show 11 o'clock this morning, 11 o'clock United States Eastern Time. But, hey, I'm glad that some of my international friends could enjoy this as a reasonable hour. Don't get me wrong. I have been for a long time trying to figure out if I could do one day a week at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern or 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. It seems like that's close to the sweet spot where it's not too late overseas and it's not too early here in the United States and local areas. I just haven't figured out what day fits appropriate. So, you know, best we could do so far right now is Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. But don't forget, guys and gals, if you are interested, tomorrow night I will be here live. The Sit Down With Yours Truly. Now, yes, this is the list of topics from Thursday. Most of them. I had to add a lot of things. But tomorrow, this is the list of topics. It is going to be a blank sheet of paper. Whatever you guys and gals want to talk about, that is what we're going to get into. So tomorrow, for about 90 minutes, we will interact. The entire show is interactive. And everybody live sets the table of what is discussed. And for any of you out there on the archive that have been enjoying these shows, give props to everybody who tunes in live because they're the ones that set up these topics of discussion. I'm very curious to see what your reaction is to Thursday. I got to thank JD from New York again for coming on. I don't think it could have gotten any better. I mean, I will say this, and I want to just add one thing that I've said in the comments, I've responded to as many people as possible. By the way, welcome aboard to everybody who's new to the channel. You know, I want people to realize that this is something that we planned about 2 months ago. This was not done for damage control for what happened with JD last week with a lot of AEW women and a few others in AEW. This was planned for November 3rd, period. So this was going down. In a way, it's a shame that part of the show had to be used for what happened. But on the opposite side of it, timing might have been unbelievable. This might have been the great best timing possible. Because, you know, some people are calling it an interview. No, it's not an interview. This is a conversation between two friends with some debate discussion mixed in as well. And, you know, JD is very animated in his shows. You look at me on my shows. I make an ass out of myself sometimes. If I acted like this when the shows are over and I acted like this goofy with my wife, I wouldn't be married right now. You know what I mean? But on the shows, you get a little bit more passionate. You get energetic. You know, you just get a little more animated. You're not fake. You're just an overhyped. You know, like how we feel inside, we let it out on the shows. So I didn't ask JD to be relaxed and calm and cool and collected at times. And that was not a front. He doesn't play a character. What happened Thursday is simple. JD's guard was allowed to come down. And JD trusted me enough that I wasn't going to jerk him off. Sorry to be explicit, everyone, but I wasn't going to jerk him off. I wasn't going to kiss his ass. I wasn't going to sweet talk him because he's got 500 times more people tuning in to his stuff than mine. It's not about that. It's not about numbers of competition. He trusted me as a friend that we were going to have convo. We were going to talk wrestling. We were going to talk anything that you guys wanted us to talk about. And it ended up being over 3 hours. And it was honestly, it's in my top five of my favorite shows of all time because, and believe me, I've been doing this for 26 years now, almost 26 years. If I go back and check out, it's why I like Jason and Joe Cronin's show that I did also. You could go a year from now, watch it again, and almost everything that you're hearing is not outdated. It's just regular discussion. You know, Crown Jewel stuff would be a little outdated, but hey, we ended up being right with our predictions and everything. So it's a conversation, and you got to see two guys just chilling and having some talk. And maybe that gave a little bit more of an insight of who JD actually is. You know, that's one thing about me with video, and then I'm going to leave for tonight. I did audio for 23 years, and no one ever saw my face. No one ever saw my eyes. No one ever saw this, the big tummy. But you only heard me. You might have seen a photo here and there, but you only heard me. And you only heard the over-the-top, you know, banter and stuff. And unfortunately, when you only hear someone, you start painting a picture of what you perceive that person to be. And I always felt you see someone's eyes, you could tell when someone's lying to your face. You could tell when someone is just trying to use you for hits, views, and everything else. You know, when you see the person and you see how they act and you see how, you know, when they act all sad and, you know, or, you know, affected by something, you could see it in their face if they're real. When you only hear it, you know, you could make up everything. And there's a lot of people out there who have created a fake life and are now actually trying to live that fake life, and you never know the difference. So I always felt going on video, people would actually get a better idea of who I am and what I'm about. And, you know, it's the greatest thing that I ever did. Shouldn't never have waited this long. But you got to see on Thursday a side of JD that normally people don't see because he is forced to keep his guard up. Is some of that because of his own doing? Yeah, I'm sure he would even tell you that. But his guard is always up. And look, we're very animated. He's even more, he's very passionate. And, you know, when he voices frustration, you know, it's to an escalated level on his shows. So it was epic, man. And the response has been amazing. You know, I think as of right now, there's like almost 12,000 views on YouTube. On Pro Wrestling TV, it's about 10,000. And the audio only, my God, I think that's like 13,000 right now. Because let's also be honest. I don't think there's a lot of people that want to see my ugly face and see JD's face for 3 hours. You could put on your headphones or your earbuds or put it on speaker and you could listen to it for 3 hours. Viewing is not required. You could just listen. But the response, and it's, what, not even 48 hours. So I thank you all for enjoying it. I thank JD for coming on. And, yeah, I hope to have him back in the future. But I want to have him back when it really means something. You know, when there's really time, like, yeah, we got a whole new list of topics that we got to tackle. So that will happen in the future. When it happens, I have no idea. As far as the next podcast, Forbidden Door, I don't use Forbidden Door as just like a catchy name. Whoever comes on next is going to be someone that maybe you always wanted to see on as a guest, or maybe you never thought would be on as a guest. That's the idea of the podcast, Forbidden Door. So who comes on next? I don't know yet, but it's going to be someone where people will be like, holy shit. Oh my God. I never thought, you know, that would be, it's not going to be just a random person. You know, it's going to have some meaning behind it. So, all right, everybody. Hope you had a great night. Let me know what you thought about Crown Jewel. Let me know who your favorite and least favorite match was of the night. Am I overdoing it about the mace stuff? I can't get past that. I'm a little surprised how Drew McIntyre did not sell that after a few seconds. But overall, it was a great show. And look, if you have any special requests or who you would like to see on podcast Forbidden Door 4, yes, it rhymes, post it in the comment section. We're not going to wait 3, 4, 5 months. You know, I want to do another one, you know, before Royal Rumble or maybe right after Royal Rumble. So start sending some ideas. I'm out of here. If you're around tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, join me right here. And thank you, Mitchell Davies, for the 5 spot. Easily the best podcast around. We'll definitely be back on Patreon soon. Awesome, Mitchell. I really appreciate that. Thank you. And I thank you all for joining me tonight. Much love as always. And we appreciate everything that, you know, you do for us. Believe me, you know, that's something I think you all realize too. You know, we don't do this to just hear each other talk and look at numbers and feel good. You know, your interaction is really what, you know, helps us as well. And it really shows us, gives us an idea as far as how we're doing. And we always want to talk to, that's, yeah, I saw somebody write that the other day. One thing that some of the guys that I really respect in this podcast world, or even the news world, the guys that talk to you and don't talk at you or talk down at you. You know, there are people out there that are going to say what they're going to say, whether you tune in or not. That's just talking at you. They're just going to say what they're going to say, and if you want to hear it, good. If you don't want to hear it, good. But all of us, we talk to you. There is a big difference, and that is, you know, a lost art, I think, in this podcasting world. So be well, everyone. Hope to see you tomorrow night, if not Monday, after Raw. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.